carry on with somewhat the same thought as we talk about turning life right side up. This is more about priorities. And the problem with self is that we make self our number one priority instead of God, or much of the world does. And it causes problems. But you know, some of the choices we make are not always the best choices. And it may be that we are looking at life from the wrong perspective. Maybe we are looking at life upside down, thinking that life is right side up. In Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul and some of his co-workers had gone to Thessalonica. And they were preaching the gospel and being very successful at converting people to the cause of Christ. So much so that those that were in authority in Acts 17 and verse 6 said of Paul and these men, he said, "These men are turning the world upside down." Well, really, the world was already upside down, and what Paul was trying to do was to turn it right side up. And so this is what the wise man Solomon is dealing with here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. He is saying that sometimes, whenever we look at things and we look at them through our eyes and through the eyes of we as human beings, it doesn't look exactly right. It looks upside down, but he said in reality, it's actually right side up. And he does this by what he calls better thans. This is better than that. And so he calls upon us in chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, to see situations as they are. For example, Solomon said that a good name is better than costly perfume. Now, I think that probably this one most of us would buy into. A good name is more to be desired than a costly perfume. Expensive perfume back during this time was a treasured thing. In fact, you remember how that it got Judas in a little bit of a problem whenever Judas complained because Mary used this costly perfume to anoint Jesus, and Judas was kind of pretty well taken back by that and said, "Well, this could have been sold for 300 pence and given it to the poor." Of course, knowing Judas's heart, we know that his priorities were all out of whack, because Judas didn't care about the poor. Judas wanted that in his money bag. So whenever Solomon used this perfume as a better than, those who read his words truly understood what he was talking about. And speaking of name, because of what Judas was and because of what he did, his name is held in disdain even unto this day. In another passage there in Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon says, "Better is the day of death than the day of birth." Now, this one we don't buy into big time, because we celebrate the birth of a child, and we mourn the birth of a loved one. And Solomon's saying better is the day of one's death than the day of his birth. We celebrate birthdays. We don't celebrate death days. But when you think about it and look at it, Solomon is saying, what kind of world are you bringing a child into? And man, if that was a wise saying in the days of Solomon, it certainly may be so in our world today. I often wonder what we're bringing our children into. You, along with I, have questioned what kind of world will our grandchildren live in? What will the church be like just 50 years from now? It is a concern. And on the other side of the coin, death sometimes can be a very, very good friend. I've used my father-in-law often, I know that, but I was so, I heard him so many times plead with God to come and get him and take him home. He looked forward to death. We couldn't mourn his death because it was such an answer to his prayer because he prayed for it so much. In a time of real sadness, one of those really down days, he made the statement to Pat, "Well, I don't even think God wants me anymore." Now, he knew that wasn't true, but nevertheless, one of those kind of days, you know. So maybe that's not so upside down as we think it is. Better is the day of a man's death than the day of his birth. And then another one of those better thans in those first seven verses is, it is better to listen to the correction of a wise man than listen to the song of a fool. Solomon did have a way of saying things, didn't he? And this one I think we can also see from the same priority and the same angle that Solomon saw it, because it is true that sometimes listening to the world's songs, so to speak, is an avenue to destruction. I know it was for the prodigal son, as Satan tempted him to look at the bright lights of the far country, only to find himself in a hog pen. So some of these better thans illustrate that life cannot be what it should be until we put God in the picture. And as we put God in the picture, maybe things turn right side up for us. So how can we turn life right side up? Well, Solomon goes on with some of these suggestions and some of these thoughts here. In chapter 7, verses 8 through 14, Solomon there encourages us to consider the end result of something. He says the end of a matter is better than the beginning. Now that has a ring to it, all right, for sure. The end of something is better than the beginning. I know that our kids are just about getting ready to go to Green Valley, which is a great example, a great experience, I meant to say, for them. And they really look forward to it. Many of you still look back on your days at Green Valley as a time of memories and great experiences and the establishment of great friendships. And so perhaps our kids, as Green Valley ended, would not say better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And yet, if you look back at it, as you who sit older and wiser, yeah, that is true. Because the beginning, you didn't have those experiences. You didn't have those memories. And through that week, even though it ended, it left you with those precious things. Life, too, has some things that we can say, I was better as a result of it. Some of the experiences in our life, not so pleasant at the time. Down the road, we look back and say, that made a difference. That made a difference in my life. And if someone would have told you that when you were going through that experience, you would say, that's all upside down. But as we got older and we saw the end result, it began to turn right side up. And so Solomon says, better is the end of a thing than beginning. But as he goes on here in Ecclesiastes 7, he talks about how that that do not be angry. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. Be patient in spirit is better than a proud spirit. Trying to impress upon us that as David was so apt to say, wait upon the Lord. Don't be so quick to judge people, experiences in life. Learn to wait on God. Learn to see what God has in store for us. He also says here that consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he's made crooked? Or who can make crooked what he's made straight? We're not God, Solomon is saying. Let God be the one who sets our priorities of life. Instead of us trying to get ahead of God, why don't we just wait on God? We look at the story of Job, and here was the one who tried to run away from God. He tried to run ahead of God, and it didn't work. And when he found himself in a very precarious situation in the belly of a great fish, he came to realize that fact, that he needed to wait on God and obey God's commandments. Solomon in verses 15 through 22 tells us there a way that we can turn our life right side up is to avoid extremes. He said, I've seen good men die young. I've seen wicked men live a long time. And he said, these are two extremes. And he said, two useless extremes. You know, extremes are just that. And for the most part, we find the truth between two extremes. He even advises us here not to be too righteous. I don't know how you are too righteous. But he's saying you can even take your Christianity, your righteousness, to an extreme. We need to learn to live within ourselves, is what the wise man Solomon is saying. Avoid these extremes. He's saying we need to get a handle on life. And whenever we try to put ourselves in the place of God, it doesn't work. It never has, never will. And then finally, in verses 23 through 29, Solomon says here that we need to apply wisdom. Living in a world that gives very little thought to God, a search for wisdom is a must. Wisdom, Solomon said, is remote and exceedingly mysterious. And who can discover it? His desperate search was for wisdom. Now, sometimes I don't think he was very wise. Like the statement he made when he said that he had looked and searched and he really only found one in about 1,000 men that were wise, and he said that he hadn't even found that among women. So, so you girls, Solomon might not be on your good boy list if he talks about you that way, because I really kind of disagree with that. Do disagree with that, because I think that many times. You women are much wiser than we. But Solomon was simply saying that wisdom is an elusive thing, and you have to work to attain it. In chapter 8 and verse 1, Solomon says there that wisdom from God lights up a man's life. James said that one of the things that we can pray for and that God will grant us is when we ask for wisdom. So a search for what really is life, what is really the right side up of life, all comes down to a fact that our search has to find its place to God. For without God, man's life is a failure. It will always be upside down. Jesus would say it this way: for what would a man profit if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? So the question tonight is your life right side up or upside down? And no matter what you accomplish in this life, if it is not a life for God, I can tell you, friend, your life is upside down. And the way to get it right side back up is if you haven't put your faith into action to repent of your sins and to confess that Jesus is the Christ, to be baptized for the remission of your sins, there's an avenue to putting your life right side up. If you have let this world become way more important than it needs to be, you've got your life upside down. You've got your priorities in the wrong place. And only God can make straight that which is crooked. Only God can straighten your life out and turn it right side up. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that all may cleansed be in thy once open fount. I bring them, Savior, all to thee. The burden is too great for me. The burden is too great for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. No word shall needed be, thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, O suffering Savior, all to thee. O suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, I would not be my own. O Savior, let me be thine ever, thine alone. My heart, my life, my all I bring to thee, my Savior and my King. To thee, my Savior and my King.
Please be seated. David has our announcements. All right. Okay. Are there any announcements that we need to make? All right.
One is don't remember.